everybody. Thank you for joining us this weekend on Nevada Backcountry, only on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Thank you to Truck Envy here in Reno for sponsoring the show. Without further ado, we've got a repeat guest on today. It's Hunter Morai, president of the Fallon Bowmen, owner of Ace in the Hole Archery. Hunter, thank you for coming on the show again.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. And we're going to dive right into it because we got a lot to bite off this show. First and foremost, let's talk about Ace in the Hole Archery. You guys are now, it's a fully fledged archery shop out there in Fallon.
Yep. Everything. Put with a asterisk on that. Do everything at my house still. So it's still kind of the side business, but it's growing at a rapid rate, and things are looking up.
Now, you guys picked up Elite Bows last year, beginning of this year?
Correct.
So you are an official Elite dealer now.
Yep. So as far as bows go, Elite is kind of the only one I'm stocking. I can sell Darton as well. The Darton market isn't quite booming in Fallon. So mainly stocking Elite, and then all arrows and accessories that are on the market I can sell.
Is your shop just like primarily a hunting shop, or do you also dabble in the target archery world?
Obviously, you know, myself shooting target archery, I do carry some target stuff. Most of the target stuff is a special order. I'm carrying a select few target archery bows that I'll have on hand, you know, until they sell. So I guess the short of the answer is yes, I dabble in both, but most of it's hunting.
Because I know that the target world is a little tougher to keep a stock of that stuff because the bows come in so many different colors and everything else that people, you know, may want the yellow bow compared to the red one. Hunting stuff's a little easier because it's a solid brown, a black, or a camouflage pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of the hunting guys, they're not too picky when it comes to color. You know, some of them want a specific camo pattern or something. But if you've got brown on the wall and they want it green, they're probably going to buy the brown one.
Yeah,
right. Target archery people, they tend to be a little bit more picky when it comes to matching equipment, selective colors, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you bring up equipment. As a hunter getting into target archery, it was almost like paralysis by analysis.
Yeah.
When you start going this company makes this insert and this arrow and this release, like on down the line, the accessories and everything, I could see how that would be hard for a smaller archery shop to stock exactly what people want for target stuff.
Yeah, it gets to a point where you got to kind of advertise that you're able to get that equipment for them, but at the end of the day, you know, they'll have to wait, you know, 4 or 5 days to get that stuff. And to be honest, there's not really a target specific shop anywhere in northern Nevada. So even if they wanted to travel to Reno or something, chances are they're not going to have too much target specific stuff.
Yeah.
It is what it is, and just try to offer it as best I can.
Yeah, ever since Wasting Arrows shut down, yeah, there's no real specific target archery shop.
No.
Hopefully that'll change someday here because we do have a lot of target archers that really miss that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When we were in Winnemucca with you, your dad was shooting that Exalt, the new Elite Exalt, and he was kind enough to let me throw a few arrows with it. That was a pretty darn nice bow.
Is that what you're shooting too, Hunter?
I'm actually shooting the Verdict right now for indoor. Still tossing up whether I want to shoot the Exalt for outdoor or not. I actually have a brand new Exalt sitting on the rack right now, Dave, so if you want to test drive, you're more than welcome.
All right, yeah, because I used to shoot the Verdict when I was shooting for Elite, and that was a fantastic bow, I got to say. They had a great brace height and 37 inches, fantastic, where the Exalt's 35, which is kind of my sweet spot.
Yeah, no, I've really enjoyed the Exalt. I really, really like the adjustability of these new Elites.
Yeah.
I haven't shot Elite since, I think, the Victory 37, I want to say. So it's been a hot minute, and just having it's almost to a detriment. I'm constantly trying, you know, well, maybe if I lessen my let off and twisted the cables here, let's see what it does. So having the adjustability has almost been a downfall on my end, but as a shop owner, it's a blessing to be able to customize pretty much any way, shape, or form you want.
How did you decide or make the decision to become an Elite dealer?
So being that I do everything out of my house, not many bow manufacturers will work with me strictly because I don't have a storefront. You know, right. They want set hours. They want to be able to have people stop in whenever they please and look at their bow. Darton was one because I'm a Black Eagle dealer. They'll allow me to order Darton bows, which came out with a really good bow this year. They're getting a lot of traction with this new bow they released. I ended up shooting the championship flights or the championship targets in Reading last year and landed on the same target as Louis Holmes. So yeah. He's one of the elite staff shooters. And just through the 3 days of shooting Reading, you know, we got along real great. He gave me some pretty good advice, and we've kept in touch ever since. And about 2 weeks after Reading, he hit me up and said, "Hey, if you want to make a run at this, I can pull some strings and make sure that you guys are selling bows out there." So a couple days later, I got a call from the rep, and they've been really good to work with ever since.
I think we've asked you before on the show, but do you have any plans to take Ace in the Hole Archery and make it a brick and mortar, or do you like kind of having that flexibility? Because I know you've got a 9-to-5 as well.
Yeah, you know, when I originally started it, it honestly was going to be a side gig to kind of have a supplemental income to fund my archery endeavors. Last year, I was busier than I could have ever imagined. You know, during the summer months, I was spending just as much time at the bow shop than I was at my normal job. So last year was a really, really good year. The big kind of question mark right now is just location. You know, obviously out here in Fallon, we're not super apt to have a bunch of commercial retail space that's available.
Right.
And the spots that are available, they're wanting an arm and a leg for them. So just kind of keeping my head on a swivel, seeing what pops up, seeing if the right opportunity as far as a building goes presents itself. If that were to arise, then it would definitely be a possibility.
And I know one of the things that I see a lot on social media that you guys push or you do at Ace in the Hole is that custom arrow build for people.
Yeah, that's just kind of something fun. You know, everybody can build custom arrows, but we're taking the arrow wraps and customizing with whatever design you want. I mean, I've put pictures of people's dogs on them. I've done custom design that they found online, and I've put it on there. And then we're also putting phrases and quotes on there. So some people have their, you know, kind of tagline when they shoot that they want on the arrows, and some people want something funny to make them laugh, and some people want something ridiculously inappropriate that you probably wouldn't want your kid to read. But across the board, it's just been, you know, something kind of cool, something different that you don't see everywhere, and people really like it.
Yeah, some of those, the laugh out loud stuff, yeah, unfortunately, due to FCC regulations, I can't say some
of them.
You can't
say them.
but there are some that I'll just sit there and chuckle when I see it, and I'm like, hey, whatever, you know, if that makes you feel like a killer in the woods, hey, good for you.
Heck yeah, man. Yeah. So what is your most popular hunting arrow that you're selling right now?
The one I probably sell the most of is the Black Eagle Rampage.
Really? The Rampage?
Which one is that?
That's like the middle grade. It is below the X Impact and above their entry level arrow. But the Rampage is right in the middle. It's a sweet purchase price.
Is it like a micro diameter?
No.
Or?
It's a standard. I think it's a 6.5, I think.
It's just under a standard. It's the same diameter as like an Easton Access.
Yeah.
It's a 5 mil arrow.
Gotcha. Yeah, okay. Gotcha. Okay.
5 mil then, yeah. Because I know there's just so many new arrows and arrow manufacturers out there now.
God,
you got the Mark 3s, the Mark 6s, you've got the
Ultra.
You got the Ultras
now. Ultra Views making arrows.
Ultra Views. Yeah. Well, Ultra Views are just a victory.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, they're really nice. But yeah, there's just so many coming out now, and some of the prices are just bonkers.
Not to cut you off, Dave, but we got to go to a commercial break. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Thank you to Legacy Sports International, home of the Howa Superlight, for sponsoring Nevada Backcountry. And we are back on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk with Hunter Morai, owner of Ace in the Hole Archery, president of the Fallon Bowman Club. What else are you up to?
I think, aren't you also like a professional engineer or something like that?
Oh, yeah, the 9-to-5.
You're 9-to-5?
Yep, I'm a professional engineer by day. Many hobbies by night.
And an archery fanatic by night.
before we jump into the 3C shoot coming up in Fallon, what class are you going to be shooting out there, Hunter?
I'll personally shoot the Money Open class.
Money Open. Okay, what about Sage?
He fluctuates, depends on the day. So he will, I'm sure, shoot Money. It'll either depend on what bow he's shooting. So he'll either shoot Outlaw or Open.
Okay, good. I'm going to cross those off right now. I always try to figure where I stand a chance. No, no. Let's dive in. The Fallon Bowman put on, I mean, it's one of my favorite shoots of
year. Oh, yeah.
The indoor 3D shoot out there at the 3C Rafter Arena. I think I'm saying
that new
right.
Arena. This will be the third year for it out there. And the club, you guys do such a phenomenal job setting up the course in there. It's amazing how you can get so many cool shots in such a small arena. You guys do a great job. You and Winnemucca, the Winnemucca group. So
let's go dates set up for this year. Talk to me about the shoot.
Well, first of all, thank you guys for the nice words. We got a pretty good group of people out here that are willing to help us. So that always helps and makes the event run very smoothly. These indoor shoots are just super, super fun. You can come in here and, you know, you're in and out in 3 hours and you've got 30 targets shot. So this year, dates are April 5th and 6th. It'll be kind of ran very similar to last year. We'll have 3 time slots you can shoot. So if you're traveling from out of town and don't want to come super early in the morning, you can shoot at, I think, the time slot's like 1:30 or 2. So you've got flexibility there. And then we've got a couple of different things going on this year that people probably haven't seen at one of our shoots. So the first is vendors. We're going to open it up to vendors this year. I think I've got 8 or 10 vendors that are confirmed, signed paperwork, and are going to be there with a lot more that are kind of up in the air. But we want to pack that whole, you know, kind of mezzanine area with vendors this year. We're also going to open it up to a steak dinner on Saturday night. You know, a lot of people come into Fallon, and I'm not going to lie, our dinner choices are lackluster at best. You can get some,
Well said.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked to the people that run our concession, and they're more than willing to do a dinner for us. So we're going to do a steak dinner on Saturday night. And then at that dinner is when we'll draw all of our raffle prizes. We'll do the youth awards from that day and kind of just make it a whole little event that people can hang out and shoot if they want. And it'll just be a nice time to relax after the long day of shooting.
The dinner will be at the 3C?
Yep, right there at the venue.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah, that is really cool. And that's Saturday night. Okay. Might have to stick around and get myself a steak dinner.
Yeah, we included that on the registration, so obviously you don't have to pay for it on the registration, but just gives us an idea of how many people we're going to have so we can get all the steaks bought ahead of time.
Okay.
So you'll see that option on there.
Now, where do people go to sign up?
So just go straight to our website, fallonbowman.com, and there's a tab. It's called the Rafter 3C Indoor 3D Archery Tournament. And it takes you right to that registration. All the info's on our website. And then we'll, you know, like I said, we did a huge email blast with all the information. That email has a link on it. We'll also have everything on our Facebook page, Fallon Bowman Archery Club. So, yeah, we're getting it out there, you know, to the masses. Hopefully it's easy to find.
What about for vendors? Like, I know, in fact, I haven't seen any paperwork from you yet. I'm slightly offended, but I know a couple girls in Reno that own a soap business that are going to be there. I may or may not be related to them, but if you're a vendor listening
blood
right now.
Blood work's still out.
Yeah, exactly. If you're a vendor listening right now or you own a business in the outdoor space, how do they go about signing up for booth space?
Yeah, so I actually I put the vendor form on our website. I'll forward you a link to that.
Okay,
I'm not going to lie. I faced getting it to your daughters, and I apologize.
No worries.
But there's a link on the website, or you can message me on Facebook. Shoot the club an email at fallonbowman01@gmail.com. And I'll get you that vendor form. It's just a simple agreement stating that you agree to that there'll be power, and that's about all you're going to get for your booth, basically.
Gotcha.
And then some information about setup and takedown, stuff like that. Anybody that is interested in putting their product on display or advertising their business, they're more than welcome. I'm happy to take as many as we can. I think we can fit 20 or so pretty comfortably, so we've got some room for additional vendors at this point.
This particular shoot will have 2 money categories again. Give us a little information on the money shoot and how that's going to play out.
Yep. So we'll have all of our standard classes like you'd see at any Nevada shoot, all the NFAA sanctioned classes. In addition to those, we wanted to open up a money class just like Winnemucca does. So it's an additional $50. That additional $50 will be put into the prize pot with an additional $1,500 that the club is going to add to that prize pot. So the money will be divided based on a NFAA pay scale, and you can look up how that percentage breaks down on NFAA's website. The $1,500 will be separated into the two money classes, Outlaw or Open. We're going to limit it to those two this year. So, yeah, money will be distributed based on shooters and percentages. Hopefully we'll pay out, you know, more than last year, which I think was between $400 and $500 the Open money. And we'll grow those classes to the point where we are giving away a big check at the end of the shoot.
Are the money shooters flighted? Are they? Do they shoot a specific time, or can they register for one of the three times?
Nope. So on Saturday, we're going to allow people to just shoot with whoever they want at whatever time they want. Our kind of thinking there is your score starts back at zero on Sunday. You're going to get flighted on Sunday. So as far as Saturday scores go, we're not too worried about money class having anything, you know, anything funny going on. Sunday, everything will be set back to zero, and you'll be flighted according to your score. So Sunday is the only day that you're going to have a set time that you have to show up and shoot.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't want you to give away like any big surprises for layout this year, because when I walk in, I want to see what's there and be pleasantly surprised. But is there anything that you feel like you could talk about as far as setup stuff? I know last year I liked the elevated shot.
That was
that
cool.
You had, yeah, that was really, really cool. Is there anything like that that you feel comfortable talking about now?
Yeah, I mean, there's a, and I wish I had the name of it off the top of my head. There's a big indoor shoot in Idaho. They do a really, really good job. They bring in a ton of, you know, fake trees. They bring in mounds of dirt. They've got some cool stuff that I'm trying to replicate a little bit. So you can expect a lot like last year. We're going to have more trees out there, maybe some little more obstacles so you don't have just wide open shots the whole time. Stuff to mix it up. And then I'm sure we'll bring the platform back. As far as that, I don't know that anything's been set in stone, so I won't get your guys' hopes up. But
okay. Yeah,
just look for an Easter egg or two when you walk in the door.
All right. Now, are these targets are not Redding targets? They're not orange dots, right? Are they open face?
Yep, all open targets, similar to like a IBO style.
Yeah, IBO style.
You got your standard rings. Obviously, this isn't unmarked like IBO is, but it's a marked shoot. Standard rings, 12-10-8-6, no orange dots. So that's a some of our marked shooters are used to shooting the orange dots, but we kind of went away from that.
Yeah.
And honestly, yeah, I like that.
Except for on the flamingo,
because
see anything on the flamingo. I don't care if it's 5 yards away. You still can't see the circles on those flamingos.
What's the, there's one more, Hunter. What is it? Is it the goose or something? There's something that gives me fits every year that the rings are real hard to see.
We've got a Canadian goose and an African lion. Both of them are pretty
tough
much to impossible see. To pick rings out on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've done that before, and I like these shoots coming from as a hunter first, target archer second.
Yeah.
I like these shoots because I feel like, okay, it's a little more realistic. But there have been a couple times I've stepped up to the line.
Oh, man.
And I haven't even looked for rings. I've just been like, okay, tight right behind the shoulder and yeah.
And it's
it.
A six.
And then I get up there and I go, God, the ring's over here. Why didn't I look for a ring?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a dead lion. But it's not a scoring ring.
Yeah, no, you got to look at it.
Right.
I know we had 50 power binoculars or 40 power binoculars.
Oh,
He had like a spotting scope binoculars in his bag, so we pulled those out. We still couldn't find the rings on that stupid flamingo.
Dave, that one gets you.
That one's gonna be my Achilles heel, kind of like a cow elk. Anyway, we're looking forward to this year's shoot out there. We're promoting it as much as we possibly can. Hopefully less open shooter so that I have a chance at some money.
Yeah, says the guy. You always wind up in the last. Yeah, all right.
So anyway.
All right, and unfortunately, cue the music. We've got to take a quick break on Nevada Backcountry. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Hey, Hey, thanks for hanging in there over the break. You are listening to Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. If you miss a segment of the show or miss the show entirely because you're at one of these archery shoots, you can always go to 991fmtalk.com, click on the podcast tab. All the past episodes are up there. You can also, if you're an Apple user, just search for Nevada Backcountry on Apple Podcasts and find past episodes there. Thank you to Battleborn Tree Service for sponsoring the show. Mike and the crew are great guys. If you still have lingering storm damage, get in touch with Battleborn Tree Service. For hunters, by hunters. Let's jump right into the outdoor shoot you guys do out there, Hunter. And we're talking with Hunter Morai, president of the Fallon Bowman Archery Club. It's the River Animal Madness shoot.
Correct.
Off air during the break there, we were talking a little bit about the venue. I really liked where it has been the last couple years. I lost some weight hiking the course. It was challenging, I think is the way Dave put it. Man, you guys had some really, really cool angled shots. You had that one shot with a carp floating in the river.
Yeah.
That it was like a high stakes. Man, if you miss that sucker, you're losing an arrow in the river. This year, you were saying there might be a venue change.
Yeah, so we're still, like we just spoke about, for years it's been along the river and it's been on public ground and it's been had its challenges, I'll put it that. It's a gorgeous spot. It's a really cool spot. I'm talking about the public, that is. When we were approached by the landowner just adjacent to the public to do a shoot there, we were all for it because it eliminated some issues we had. You know, we always got targets stolen. I don't know how many thousands of dollars we lost stolen targets. The Friday before the shoot, we would have several people out there picking up, you know, all sorts of drug paraphernalia and unwanted trash and people that have used it as dump sites and just not very desirable spots as far as that goes. So we were all for jumping to the private. We were able to lock the gate every night. We could set up in days in advance and not worry about our targets. We had our challenges with the course. You know, I think the first year we had that course, it wasn't people's favorites, I'll put it at that. I got reviews from, you know, some people thought it was the funnest course they've shot, and some people said that it was way too long and they didn't feel like finishing. So last year we shortened up the course pretty dramatically. You know, it's a lose-lose because last year I got that the course was boring and wasn't entertaining enough. So still working through some of our issues there. But I think the reason that we brought it up is the landowner that invited us on his property has recently sold it. So last year during our shoot, they were in process of selling that, and now the new owner has taken ownership, and we're not totally sure what that entails for us. It'll be one or the other, either the public or we'll be on private still, pending what they plan on doing with their land and what they'll allow us to do there. So look for news on that. But we'll have the carp in the water and try to do some unique things for everybody.
You had that steel, it was like one of those guarded, it had a steel plate and you had shoot through the hole, the little devil target.
Yeah.
I thought that was a cool one. There was it was like double points to hit the mosquito at 50. What the heck was it, Hunter? There was a big bug or something you could shoot close up.
Yeah, we have like a 5 or 6 foot tall mosquito drinking out of a beer can.
Yeah,
And that gets put next to the Reinhardt, you know, probably volleyball sized mosquito. That's kind of between the mosquito, the carp in the water, and the metal devil, that's kind of our flagship or well-known shots. So we'll make sure those are always replicated from now until, you know, who knows when.
Yeah, good. I love those. I love having to make that decision and think about like, okay, well, how have I shot today? Is it worth
it?
Do I need double?
Yeah, because that mosquito's been around forever. That was an old Critter Factory target. I don't know if they're even in business anymore. How do you fix that thing when you got to core that thing out? Because it's just one big solid chunk of foam.
You know, years ago they had somebody in the club that would go and re-coral those. I'm not sure what kind of foam he used. I feel like he got that foam directly from Critter Factory, and they would redo all those on their own.
Oh, okay.
Luckily, with doing that smaller mosquito, more intended for adult shots, and the big mosquito for youth or inexperienced shots, we haven't really shot it out. There's nowhere on there that's quite had to be replaced yet, but as the year goes, it's definitely coming. So we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah, that's a great target, though. That's super cool.
Now, I know the venue's kind of up in question right now. What about dates on that shoot?
Those are right after Mother's Day. Yeah, May 17th and 18th, the weekend after Mother's Day.
And where do people go to sign up for it?
That'll be the same as the indoor, just www.fallonbowman.com. We'll also have all the info on our website once that's right now. Registration is closed just because we want to get the indoor taken care of first, and then we'll open the outdoor registration. We'll publish everything on Facebook, and I'll probably do another email dump. I started doing a email campaign to kind of get the flyers and stuff out there, but it sounds like some of our emails are going to people's junk mail. So if they've registered for a shoot online in the past and given us their email, they should get those emails. If not, maybe check your junk mail and just flag Fallon Bowman as a legit email to receive into your inbox.
This shoot also has a money shoot component?
Yep, we're going to run it just like the indoor.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if we voted on added money yet. That'll be a discussion for the club here in the next board meeting. So the payouts on the outdoor probably won't be as large as the indoor, just because the indoor is kind of turning into our event we want to focus on the most, want to grow that event the most, just because people really seem to like these indoor shoots. That's the only discrepancy.
I'll push the indoor shoot, and I love the outdoor shoot as well. I think is a phenomenal, hey, bring your hunting setup, get kind of that final tune-up out of the way. But for a parent of four and with a wife and everything, man, that indoor shoot is cool to bring a family to.
Yeah.
And they're not hiking. There's food. This year there's going to be vendors. That is one of my favorite just family shoots. It's close to Reno, so I don't have to worry about travel, accommodations, all that stuff.
No, it's a great shoot. I'm going to miss the Fallon Ram shoot this year, just so you know, Hunter. I've 2 years in a row now. Last year was a wedding, and this year, my daughter's graduation from med school.
Oh!
I got to travel to West Virginia.
Well, Dave, I'll be there in your absence.
Yeah.
I guess that's a valid excuse. We'll let you off the hook on that one.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Now, are you guys going to do the walk back thing again?
That's awesome.
Yeah, that walk back shoot.
Oh, yeah, we have to do that. That's too fun not to do.
Yeah. What was the distance last year? Like 150 something, 160 yards or something?
I want to say Craig won it at 165 on the Buffalo.
Okay. That's right. Yeah, because I remember Craig did win it. Yeah, it was pretty good clip.
And then year before, Sage won it. That's
actually Sage won the first one we did 2 years ago.
2 years, okay.
And Craig has won the last two. And then if you remember, we had that dinner for Robert Biggs' wife.
Right.
On that fundraiser, and Craig donated the first one he won back to the dinner.
Oh, nice.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. I always look at these shoots. There's I'll drop some last names. If I see Hagen, Morai, Kremen in a class, I'm always like, yeah, okay, I'm going to bring something else.
Yeah, I'm going to grab my recurve.
Yeah, I'll shoot this with a recurve. Yeah. Well, then the problem is if I see Burdick, then I'm like, I'm not shooting in the recurve.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is there a Genesis division?
Yeah, usual suspects out there for sure. What else you got planned for that Ram shoot, Hunter?
You know, we don't have too many things set in stone for the Ram shoot. It's kind of going to be similar to the past years, I would say, right now. Obviously, if we have our old private property venue, you know, there'll still be camping involved. I'm sure we'll do something Saturday night. But it's been the club's focus the last couple months to really push the indoor. Efforts haven't been placed on the outdoor just quite yet, but I'm sure, you know, March, April timeframe, we'll really start focusing on what we want to do for the outdoor.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
I got a question for you. So with the Fallon Bowman and your Aces in the Hole business, do you do any community outreach stuff, training classes or beginning archery programs, anything like that to fire up some folks in the Fallon area, or is Fallon a pretty good archery community already?
Yeah, so I would say yes, informally. So with the Fallon Bowman, we have league every Wednesday and Thursday. The county leases us a little building that we can do a 20-yard indoor league. I hope folks there most nights. It's a juggling act to try and work on my own equipment and then, you know, help those that are interested in, you know, learning proper form, learning proper aspects of archery, learning how to work on their equipment. I've helped several kids that are in the NAS program. We have two different schools that do the NAS program.
Yeah.
So I'll have kids come in one night a week. You know, it's just like one-on-one or two-on-one type of deal, nothing like a class. The real only formal thing I've done is I went to Yarrington in the last 2 years and did a youth class. So worked with all the kids. Some of them brought their own bows, but most of them were learning on the Genesis. It's a growing aspect of the business. A little bit of a juggling act because, you know, being the face of the Fallon Bowman and then having my archery shop, trying not to blend those two too much. Do my time and volunteer time for the Fallon Bowman and then pick specific weekends or efforts that I want to put into training with people that are paying for lessons, stuff like that. So
I'm getting a lot of phone calls and a lot of references for teaching classes and teaching young kids or adults and what have you. And I've got a couple small groups that I instruct, but without having an actual venue to
standing facility.
A standing facility in the area, it just makes it really tough. Like your situation in Fallon, same situation here in Reno, is the cost of a facility.
Yeah, and on the Fallon Bowman side of things, the facility that the county rents us is, it's perfect for what we need. It's an old brick building. It's been there for 100 years. Nothing fancy. We put up our own lights, and the lighting still sucks, but it gets what we need. The trouble is that facility is not open for me to rent as the business, right? So I don't feel comfortable kind of using that facility rented by the Fallon Bowman to do lessons under Ace in the Hole Archery, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, yeah. That makes sense, yeah.
Hey, we're out of time. Don't go anywhere. We will have the final segment coming up. We'll talk a little bit about hunting, and then we'll get back into the indoor shoot coming up at the 3C Rafter Arena. Hey, thanks to Shooting Performance Institute for sponsoring the show. Most of the summer course dates are up on the website now. Jim's, I know, got a couple long-range courses planned. He's got the Hunter's Challenge planned. Start clearing your calendar. Go to shootingperformanceinstitute.com to check out the full schedule. Jumping back into our interview with Hunter Morai, owner of Ace in the Hole Archery and president of the Fallon Bowman Archery Club. Hunter, we left off talking a little bit about your involvement in NASP and all of that. We've kind of talked tournaments, target archery up until this point. You know what I'm itching to talk about. Let's talk about your hunting season last year. How'd it go?
Nevada went really well. I lucked out. I killed a really good buck opening morning of the archery season. My brother was actually guiding the antelope hunter a couple days prior and happened to run across some good deer and happened to work out in my favor opening afternoon. So killed a good buck at 55. Kind of spent the rest of my Nevada season looking for elk with Sage.
So you mentioned an antelope hunter that Sage was guiding. Was that antelope hunter by any chance Aspen?
No, that was later on. This was an actual client he had. He ran around with them, had one person sit in a blind and one person wanted to do spot and stalk. So hunted with them for several days and then went and helped Aspen on her crazy, crazy long shot.
Yeah, we had her on the show. She talked about that when she dropped the yardage on us. I kind of stared at her and I was like,
then she showed us the video and I was like, God dang.
So now you said your Nevada season was good. I remember Aspen saying something about an out-of-state whitetail hunt, I think it was. What was your out-of-state stuff last year?
Yeah, so me and my dad went to Kansas on a whitetail hunt, and it sucks, to put it lightly.
Okay.
The outfitter we went with was really good. I have no complaints with the outfitter. They worked their tails off. Those guys, you know, ran on a little bit of sleep and a lot of bit of Mountain Dew. So they worked for us, but it was, I think one afternoon I was sitting in the stand and it was like 92 degrees.
Yeah.
You know, they have all their cell cameras and they're getting pictures of deer at midnight on the feeders and there's nothing you could really do. I had some small deer come in. This outfit really prides himself on killing 4-year-old or older deer. So I didn't want to be the guy that killed a 3-point just because I wanted to kill one. They invited us back because it wasn't a very good opportunity for us. My dad ended up wounding a deer, which is kind of unfortunate because it's been a long time since I've seen my dad wound something. We can't really understand what he did because it was only a 30-yard shot. The deer went, and he was hunting kind of close to a refuge, and that deer crossed the refuge, and there's nothing you could do about that. Kind of one of those things. It was a super cool experience. You know, I told people if I wanted to waste a lot of arrows, I could have killed all sorts of critters. Because every day there's, you know, you name it, and there's somewhere around you, whether it's squirrels, raccoons, skunks, coyotes, turkeys. It was endless, the amount of critters you could sit and watch. It was just lacking in the deer, unfortunately.
What was it, bad hit on your dad's deer, or just one of those freak things?
Yeah, we can't tell what he did exactly. You know, he was shooting out of an elevated, not a tree stand, but a kind of an elevated platform box. I don't know what they call them. We don't know if he had a blade on his broadhead plane off or if the arrow wasn't spinning true. He shot the arrow afterwards and it was hitting a little bit to the left, which is exactly how he hit. He thinks he hit liver.
Oh, gotcha.
And so we haven't really figured it out, to be honest with you, and as you know, kind of something we forgot about. Just unfortunate luck, you know, it just happens. You know, my dad's killed everything under the sun with his bow, so he's more than capable of just one of those things that...
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I always, you know, you tell people, hey, you haven't been hunting with a bow for long enough. There's just weird stuff that happens sometimes where it's like, you know, even in nowadays with smartphones and everything, you get a video of it and you watch it back and you're like, man, that thing should be dead within 30 yards. At the end of the day, the animal gets a vote, and some days they just say, today is not my day to die.
Yeah, exactly. Henry and I were... We were talking with a friend in Arkansas, and our plan last year was to go out there and go do some whitetail deer hunting, and on one particular property was just going to be some doe management. And do some other hunting, and then go up into Oklahoma and hunt a couple spots. And he, every week, man, he would get a hold of us like, just not now. He said it was just too hot. He was the same thing. His trail cameras were catching great bucks, but they were all at night. Absolutely nothing during the day because it was so bloody hot.
Do you guys do an annual whitetail trip, or was that one of your first experiences doing that, Hunter?
That was the very first whitetail hunt anybody in our family has done. My dad's been wanting to do it for a long time. He's been wanting to kill whitetail, so we actually bought him this hunt 2 or 3 years ago. We booked it for him as a Father's Day gift. Me and my brother and a couple friends booked with a different outfit around the same time a year later, and the outfit we booked with, they got a hold of us to draw the tag because Kansas is a draw state. We all drew, and we didn't hear anything from them. I would call them, no voicemail. I had only put down like a $500 deposit when I booked with them at the sheep show. Didn't have any idea what was left to owe, and so I finally said, screw it, I'm going to book with somebody else. Called my dad's outfitter, and he's like, you're more than welcome. We got room, but you got the wrong unit. Crazy enough, he called me back a day later and said, hey, call this person to fish a game. They're going to change your unit. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, yeah, send your tag back in, and they're going to put a different unit on it. I said, that's a thing? Like, that's an awesome thing.
Yeah, coming from Nevada, yeah.
Wow.
So it just kind of worked out that Dad and I got to hunt together. I had two of the guys in our original group ended up still going on that hunt and had a pretty much the same hunt we did, just hot and kind of boring, to put it lightly. So just an unfortunate year to try to book a whitetail hunt, but it was, you know, it was no different between Nevada and Kansas that time of year. It was both miserably hot.
Yeah.
Having hunted out of a tree stand, killed whitetails, it's a different type of suck. Or at least if you're wired like I am, where, you know, it's like, okay, it's more physically demanding to run ridges and hunt on foot all day. It's more mentally demanding to sit in one spot for 14 hours and stare at the same. Yeah. Different type of hunting for sure, but a different type of suck.
Yeah. Well, and we're not used to it as Western hunters. I mean, those folks that grow up out there doing that tree stand hunting, that's second nature to them. They're like, just bring up a book or some snacks or whatever and watch the deer out in the field at 200 yards and hope they come in. When I did it in Illinois, I was like, absolutely not.
This is terrible.
you see 15 deer out in the field, and you're like, come out
I'm
of the...
I'm going for it.
Exactly. Yeah. And then I walked up, and I stalked up on them, and I shot one. And I remember the folks were like, you did what?
Why?
Why'd you get out of your tree stand? I said, because the deer weren't where I was sitting.
Yeah.
You know, so, but yeah, there's no way I could do it.
Kansas is one of those states where you can spot, there's spot and stalk opportunities on whitetail. Did you guys have the opportunity to do any of that, or was it strictly like a river bottoms, hardwoods, tree stand type deal?
Yeah, everything we did was tree stand. Our outfitter told us of an outfit that does do spot and stalk hunts out there. But given the situation of deer not moving during the day, I mean, if you put eyes on a deer first thing in the morning, you were really lucky. Like, we weren't seeing deer move unless we were driving at night. So even if you were trying to spot and stalk, it was going to be hard. And there's nowhere, you know, out here, it's easy to get elevation and look at what you want to look at. But
not
if
Kansas.
You don't find a water tower, there's nothing to get on top of to
no.
try and glass.
Well, shoot, Hunter. Man, I cannot thank you enough for doing this. Absolute pleasure to have you on the show. I'll give you the last minute or so here to kind of talk about the 3C shoot a little more. Hit on anything you feel like we missed. Make sure you plug the dates and where people can go to sign up.
Yeah, we're super excited about this year's event. I guess our big picture is, and it's kind of a, it's not just a Fallon Bowman image, I don't think. You know, talking to other clubs, Nevada doesn't have a real big hallmark shoot. Obviously, they have the Vegas shoot, but I'm talking, you know, fun shoots. You know, I'd like to see Nevada grow to where we're attracting some California shooters and we're getting a big pool of people, whether it's in Fallon or Reno or Winnemucca, just get some bigger, higher-level shoots. Bring in some more competitions so you're not competing against the same guys every year. So that's kind of our image behind this. That's why we're trying to add money into the money class. That's why we're trying to do a vendor exhibit hall. We want people to come. We want this to be a family event. We want to bring the kids and the wife and hang out in Fallon for the day or the weekend. We want to give people things to do during the day for the vendors. We've got ideas for little games to play with people, and then we've got the steak dinner Saturday night. So the bigger picture is just grow this event to something that's desirable for a lot of people to come join us and make an event that people are excited to come to. That being said, it's April 5th and 6th this year, so it's coming up. Online registration is open. Go to FallonBowman.com, or you can go to our Facebook page. I'll have all the information there. If you want to get on our mailing list, go ahead and just shoot me a message on Facebook with your email.